Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
All right, well, let's start with the biggest news of the day. If you notice the sweatshirt I'm wearing, it says St. Bonaventure University. St. Bonaventure is a small school in Olean, New York, Western New York, and it is my mom's alma mater. And today is my mom, who is Kurt's biggest fan, 70th birthday. Karen
Happy
Callahan.
Happy birthday, Karen Callahan. Yes. My Callahan. Favorite number one fan.
God, now she's gonna be really
I tell you, she looks good for 70. Her name right. I would have never guessed that she was 70. Actually, that's actually shocking to me.
She looks fantastic. She's great. She's the best person in the entire world. I'm gonna fly up there this weekend to see her to celebrate her birthday with our family. So very excited.
Give her a hug for me.
Happy birthday, Mom. We love you.
Happy birthday.
All right, back to the news of the day.
Yes.
On to politics. The DNC finally put out the autopsy, and they put out the still going through edits rough draft version where
the director's cut.
There's multiple notes that's there's no supporting data for this. You contradict this later on in the document. I don't think that it's basically saying this is made up. This is made up. This is made up. Because it was at one point it was talking about Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan and how those had been reliably Democrat states. And then the DNC note was Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania all went for Trump in 2016. What are you talking about?
Uh-oh.
So what is your take on them putting out, not only putting out the autopsy after all of this back and forth, but also what clearly was in the autopsy, which apparently even after all this time might have been nothing?
Well, I think a couple things. One, whoever was paid to assemble this report.
They put his name out. Yeah.
Grift of the century. Wow. Well done. So I tip my cap to you, sir. Jesus. DNC should be we want a refund. It's did a bad version of ChatGPT create this document? Because holy cow, it's pretty bad. Two, I'm glad they put it out because I think there comes a point in time where there's that point of diminishing returns. How are you going to literally go through the next 3 years just being asked about this stupid autopsy or just put it out and get it over with? I don't understand why they didn't do that immediately, many, many, many moons ago at this point. And three, you're not revealing shit that we don't already know. We already know. Yeah. Dems lost touch with Southern voters. Shocking news at 5. Dems at times out of touch with, working class, blue collar, suburban, whatever. It's the demographics of the 2024 breakdown kind of tell the story of where Democrats hemorrhaged voters across broad constituencies. So, yeah, there might be a problem there. I don't need a report to tell me what's freaking obvious. And it's such a Democrat thing let's put together a report, and a study, and this will show us the way. And oh, by the way, we're not going to really read it. We're not going to even put it together the right way. Then we're going to hide it. And then for no particular reason, on a random Thursday in the month of May, we're going to drop it out and make it public. I'm this.
Right. Yeah. You would also think that at a certain point, and I can't tell by reading all of the reporting, if they were about to get scooped and someone had gotten their hands on that draft version. Mm-hmm. And that's why that got put out versus Ken Martin being I've had enough. We're just going to put this out. Because if Ken Martin did the latter part where he's that's it, I've had enough, I'm just going to put this out, why do it on a Thursday morning? You have Memorial Day weekend.
I was going to say, wait 24 hours,
tomorrow,
buddy.
Right? Like, why put it out? So I'm not sure that they put it out. I'm like I said, haven't read all the reporting on it, but like, bad timing because like, and like, tips to anybody who maybe doesn't follow politics that closely or is a little bit new to this, call it a Friday news dump for a reason.
Take it out the trash.
Put out bad news on a Friday afternoon.
Especially for a three-day holiday weekend.
Right, going into the Memorial Day weekend, you would think that the news gets buried and moved along more quickly. But all the consternation Democrats had about releasing this in the first place, and then they put out what looks like a bad project by a fifth grader who, like, just tried to, like, rewrite the encyclopedia and pass it off as their understanding of Susan B. Anthony. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it just, it doesn't solve anything. It makes Democrats look bad. And it just, it's another negative headline. And honestly, will this affect the election? Absolutely not. Doesn't matter at all. Not going to matter to a single voter. But what it does matter is right now, Democrats are trying to continue to build momentum going into midterms, knowing that the redistricting is still going on, knowing that there is a fundraising deficit with the Democrats right now. Last thing they need is a demoralizing negative headline going into where they're going into the hardest part of the primary season right now shows that Democrats are, what do you know, in disarray yet again, going into the heaviest part of primary season. I see that as the bigger issue for Democrats here. Yeah, that report is stupid and they clearly didn't care enough to like make that a good product by anybody that team. But this is not the kind of thing you want going into this part of primary season, I would think.
No, but I also think it's like, you got it out, you got it done. You're not going to be asked about it too, you know, there's a shelf life on this now because you put it to bed. And so better to get it out and get it over with now than have it, you know, drop, you know, after Labor Day. Or, you know, the later it goes, the worse it gets, in my opinion. So just dispense with it, be done with it. I think that as a communicator, and you know this, my brain tells me this was going to drop somewhere and they knew it. So they had to get it out because there's no earthly reason why you would leak it on a Thursday while everyone's still in town heading into a 3-day weekend. Unless someone told you, hey, so-and-so's going to break this story in the next like 12 hours. Like, you can put it out yourself or deal with the leak.
Well, like, I can also tell you, if you're working with a reporter on a story, like if a reporter had this and they were working with the DNC about timing and about the story, and then the DNC scooped them.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, I'm not saying that's what happened here, but like, that's how you get yourself in a bad situation as a communicator in politics is you know a story is coming and you like want to get ahead of it.
That's why I think it was someone internally who's part of the DNC who was like, I'm literally going to leak this tomorrow unless you do it or I will. Deadline, boom, done. That isn't sophisticated in comms and messaging and timing, who just like your general political committee member of the DNC. I think that's kind of what happened, is my guess.
Well, it's not great timing for Democrats, but absolutely fantastic reading if you enjoy seeing what disarray looks like from the Democrats, just word by word.
If you want to know why everyone hates the consultant class, this report is Exhibit A.
All right, let's talk about one of the things that you and I kind of talk about a lot, and I'm not talking Spencer Pratt right now.
Oh, God.
I'm talking, where's Tom Keene?
Where is Tom Keene? Where in the world is Tom Keene?
So for those who don't know the Tom Keene story, Tom Keene is a Republican House member from New Jersey who has been not seen by colleagues for over 3 months now.
Like a Dateline special waiting to happen.
It took almost 3 months for people to start going, you seen Tom?
I haven't noticed where Tom's been lately.
Tom in a while. So people start trying to call him, can't get a hold of him. And now his staff is coming out saying that wherever Tom is, there are no cameras. So you can't verify where he is. And this is honestly getting reporters more
ginned
up.
Like your options are hospital, hospice, or rehab.
Right. Something is happening significant here. And first and foremost, I hope he's okay. I hope he's getting whatever help he needs. I hope that he's truly okay. But from a constituent services perspective and for the people he's elected to represent, not being able to tell people where you are. And reporters are taking this like chum in the water right now. So they're contacting staff. They're contacting family members. They're showing up at the house to see if he's there or if he's around. Neighbors are saying they haven't seen Tom Keene in a while. His wife isn't responding to inquiries. And Tom Keene's team is getting mad about reporters reaching out, asking where he is because they can't get a hold of him. And his team's not responding. So
they seem to not know either. Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Where do you think Tom Keene is?
It's got to be a medical situation to be this unresponsive and for this little information to be coming out. And again, it's like, yeah, as a human being, I hope he's okay. But I'll tell you, like, when you are in a position of public office and you represent a constituency, like, you have an obligation to be transparent with them about your abilities, your physical, mental, emotional, you know, capabilities. If you are not able to do the job, you have a responsibility to then discharge yourself from that job. Whatever hardship he may be struggling with right now as a human being, I hope he comes out on the other side of that. But you don't get to just go MIA. You don't get to just go AWOL on the job when you are an elected member of the United States Congress. Like, that's not okay. And whoever it is in his circle, family, staff, whoever, that's allowing these questions to fester, like, you're not doing Tom Keene a service. You're certainly not looking out for your constituencies, which is your job. So someone needs to come along here and lay the law down, whether it's, an intervention with Akeem Jeffries and Speaker Johnson. I'm like, okay, let's just,
we need Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
We gotta find Tom. Where
I don't care if it's the Mandalorian or Grogu who figures it out. Just somebody.
Where in the world is Tom Keene? This is.
I know where he's not. He's not doing his job, so he should be fired from his job.
He's not. Like, I mean, in DC.
If honestly, God, if I were leadership, I would say to his staff, "Listen, you got 24 hours to get us a straight answer, or we're voting to expel him tomorrow for just going AWOL." Period. End of discussion. Because his constituents deserve better.
I mean, his constituents do deserve better. And while I appreciate the nobleness of that cause, I don't think a Republican or a Democrat speaker would ever say that to a member in any circumstance.
I would.
Given these margins. Okay. Well, you can be elected speaker as not an elected member of the House.
I would be a fantastic speaker. Best speaker of the House ever. First, I'd hire you to be my comms director day one.
Oh,
boom.
No.
You wouldn't serve for the good of the Republic?
Why? Well, no, we'll get into that later. No, absolutely not. I don't know why you think
selfish.
I would be your comms director.
You'd be a great comms director, voice of the speaker for the people. Come on.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, the speaker delusional Kurt Bardella will go right up there in history, right next to make believe Governor Stacey.
Anything
Abrams.
Can happen. So, never right say never, Aaron.
Okay.
If the people demand it, it will happen.
You know what the people might be demanding in California?
A recount?
Barack
no, just kidding.
Obama.
Oh, God.
For governor.
This is so stupid. Okay.
This is a great story. There is a guy in California who is running for governor, and his name is Barack Obama.
D. Obama.
Yes. He changed his name in 2013.
D for delusional.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
To become like Barack Obama. So his full name on the ballot is Barack D. Obama Shaw. So, I mean, name rec alone, this guy actually probably could
get a couple votes.
I mean, you're right. They're going to be like, Barack Obama for governor.
This reminds me of, because I was there when this happened. In 2003, when Arnold ran for governor, there was a cast of characters who also ran for governor. It was a recall, so it was a goofy election. And there were people who had famous names in California who also ran. Most notably, a guy whose name was Steve Young, who, again, 2003. Most people think Steve Young as the, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. But people like that were putting their name on the ballot just because they had a famous name. So it's a good, you know, little test of how stupid are you in the world if you can't differentiate between Barack Hussein Obama, as Republicans love to call him, or
That is his name. It's Barack, not like Republicans made that up. That is his name.
It's a little weird.
It's like calling it's calling Joe Biden like calling Joseph Robinette Biden. That is his name.
How many people commonly address other human beings with their full name?
Donald John Trump. I feel like President Trump goes by
his full name. How many people say often. Donald John Trump?
I mean, every time he walks on a stage, the voice of God does.
Well, leave Morgan Freeman out of this.
Morgan Freeman.
He is the voice of God.
Okay, you're.
I'm sleep deprived and jet lagged. That's what I am.
Well, let's
right now.
Talk about you being sleep deprived. Why are you so sleep deprived?
So I just came back from a whirlwind in D.C. Where I went to first for the Center for American Progress CAP Ideas Conference, which was actually the first time I've gotten to hear a lot of the folks who are in the 2028 conversation live. And in person. So, I mean, they had a really great lineup. Folks like Governor Wes Moore, Senator Ruben Gallego, California Governor Gavin Newsom, Elizabeth Warren, Schumer, Jeffries, et cetera, Cory Booker. I had two takeaways that surprised me. One, and I say this with affection because I have nothing personally against the guy, Senator Ruben Gallego is a terrible speech giver of a prepared written speech, which was so surprising to me because he's known for being very bombastic, expressive. He has a big personality, right? Forget about whether you agree or disagree with him. Like, he has a lot of energy when he's speaking extemporaneously, and he can curse like a drunken sailor, which I've always liked about him. When he was giving his prepared speech, it's like all of that personality went away. It was just like monotone. It was like the most boring thing I'd ever heard, and I was shocked. I'm like, if you're gonna want to be in a conversation for president, you need to get some media training, some speech giving training, or never give a prepared speech ever again. Just speak off the cuff. It was that bad. I was shocked. Number two, anyone who's ever followed me knows I have not been a fan of California Governor Gavin Newsom for a very long time, like predating him being on the national stage and all that. I gotta tell you, he was incredibly impressive. He was the best speaker.
He fell in love for the California beautiful boy.
He was great. He flashes
a pearly smile and you're all like, ooh, Gavin.
Well, listen, everyone knows I'm a sucker for a pretty smile, but
suckered by Gavin.
When it comes to talent, if we're just talking about talent, he is in a different league than the majority of the people that I have seen publicly speak, period. He just is. Put him right up there. The only people in the Democratic Party that I have seen that I think have that same level of talent when it comes to public speaking, being very specific here, is Pete Buttigieg and AOC as a communicator. I think forget about whether you agree with their politics. Those are very talented communicators. I can say there are a number of Republicans who I think are incredibly talented communicators. I might disagree with every word that they say. It doesn't take away from their talent. Game recognizes game. And I'm just going to tell you,
Pete Buttigieg has any game, by the way. Like, I don't.
Okay. We'll put that over there. I'm not going to debate Pete Buttigieg with you. Buttigieg, as you like to say. I think Pete is incredibly talented. Newsom, I get it now, and I didn't before, and it took seeing him live, it's like how I feel about music. Until you see them live, you don't really fully know how good or bad they are. Newsom live was impressive.
Fangirl, you.
I'm not fangirling out. I'm being. Hey, listen. it's not easy for a guy like me to say, like, hey, I may have been wrong. I may have misjudged. I may have prejudged. In this case, I think I did. And I was impressed with Gavin Newsom. That's all I'm saying. And then I did some Morning Joe and some CNN at 11 p.m., which means I got done at midnight. And, you know, I was watching in the green room. I was watching Gutfeld, actually, and I was hoping to see you on there, but you weren't.
I should be on next week, but I have a long, hard travel schedule coming up over these next, like, 3 weeks. So it's going to
be brutal. Hey, you know what I'm excited about?
I know, coming to Dallas.
I'm coming to Texas. On Tuesday, it's the runoff primary between John Cornyn and Ken Paxton, which we should talk about in a second. But I'm excited that we're going to team up with Kalshi to do an election night live stream at one of my favorite places, a place called Terry Black's Barbecue Joint, which is, if you like barbecue, it is awesome. It is fantastic. It's worth coming out here just to eat the food, Aaron. But we're going to do a live stream from around between 7 and 9 p.m. and talk about the Texas Senate race. We got some great guests lined up. The chairman of the Texas Democratic Party is going to join us. Republican consultant, fellow cable news pundit as well, John Thomas, is going to come out and join us along with other friends and pals that we have. So I'm stoked to see you come out to the Big D.
I have no friends.
That's not true. You got Ralph. You got her dogs, folks.
You're like, all of our friends are going to come out. I have no friends.
This is true. Aaron doesn't have any friends, which is shocking because you worked for Ted Cruz.
Listen, you leave TC alone. He's a good man. He's a very
invite
good
him
man.
To the party. Tell him unless he.
I think he's probably going to be a little busy that night and just trying to lay low.
In Cancun, has he got another vacation lined up? It is summertime.
No. Okay.
Well, anyway. Tune in on the Politicon YouTube channel, on the Kalshi YouTube channel. A little special election night edition of Party Lines coming at you. We're excited about that. But real quick, Trump endorsed Paxton, 11th hour kind of thing. Cornyn. if you go to John Cornyn's social media page, you'll see he retweeted me on Morning Joe talking shit about Ken Paxton, which I just think it's funny that right now, if you go to his John Cornyn's, you know, X, you see me, this face here talking.
There it is. Yeah. Well, you know, from all the publicly available polling that had been out there on this race, it was kind of clear that if Trump endorsed Cornyn, that made this race much more competitive for Cornyn and made it kind of within the margin of error. But if he endorsed Paxton, it just launched Paxton far ahead of Cornyn. And so, for the president, timing wise, this is kind of almost a little bit typical of his style, where we're getting close. Early voting's already started in Texas for this race. Mm-hmm. So now he gets to be a bit of the kingmaker in this situation. Where
he's like the closer.
Exactly.
Mm. I think what about that you? Donald Trump.
What's the biggest thing you're watching for in this?
I think that if Donald Trump had real juice left, he would have gotten behind Cornyn and pushed him. That would have been an incredibly impressive political feat, in my opinion.
I gotta tell you, it's really hard to say Donald Trump doesn't have political juice right now. And it's really hard to say that given what you just watched for the last 2 weeks of primaries. Like, that's just categorically false within the Republican Party to say he doesn't have that political juice right now.
I'm not saying he doesn't have political juice. I'm just saying,
well, you're like, well, if he still had that political juice, I'm pushing back on that premise because he just killed
of political juice
races in Indiana.
I mean, the ultimate flex of political juice would have been, in my opinion, ultimate flex, getting behind Cornyn and pushing him over the finish line. I would have been like, whoa, man, that's some coattails right there.
But you also have to remember that the president is very much a loyalty person, and Cornyn wasn't always 100% in lockstep with the president. So this is not a Massey level kind of conversation.
Oh, God, no. No one could possibly accuse Cornyn of that.
You know, that's a consideration here as well, is that Ken Paxton has been unfailingly loyal to the president. The president talked about Ken Paxton's loyalty to him in the True Social statement that he put out. And listen, John Cornyn is one heck of a senator. He is a good man. He has worked very hard in Texas. And I remember when Barbara Mikulski of Maryland retired and gave her farewell address on the Senate floor, one of the first people she hugged was John Cornyn of Texas.
Oh, he's widely revered, in my opinion, amongst his colleagues. I guess I would ask you this. Is it a mistake for Trump to have even waded in at this point? Like, what's the real benefit? Like, now you've pissed off Cornyn, who's still a United States senator, you know, through the end of the year, who's going to band together with Cassidy, who's not happy, and Tom Tillis. It's like, you're like at a time
but
we have
Cassidy, Korn, and Dynamic, that's different, right? Like, yes, I get your point that they could jam up the infrastructure of the Senate.
I mean, like Trump could have just stayed out of it. Fight. Paxton would have won anyway, I think. So it's like, well, what's the, like, do you really, what's the win here for Trump other than like now you've just pissed off Cornyn, who can make life difficult for you for the next 6 months?
Yeah, you know, I'm not in those internal conversations. I could only wax poetic about why the president made the decision he did in the time that he did. But this conversation about endorsements in this race has been going on since the runoff first happened when the primary happened, right? So like this conversation.
I mean, everyone thought after the runoff that they were actually going to get Trump to get behind Cornyn right as soon as the runoff happened, you know.
It's clear the president took a lot of time and made a lot of considerations in this and ultimately decided that he wanted to put the weight of his endorsement behind Ken Paxton. And truly in Republican politics, there is no endorsement more powerful than President Trump.
I agree with that.
And we have seen
I agree with that. Let me ask you this. If, big if, okay, but if it turns out that James Tallarico were to win, would we one day look back and go like, maybe the biggest mistake of Trump's political presidency was not getting behind Cornyn right after that runoff? Is that what we will be saying?
That's such a, like, you're trying to, like,
I'm just curious.
Something like, that you just have no way. Because honestly, like if we don't hold the Senate, you're going to have to look across the map as to why that would or wouldn't have happened. So
what
to
if,
try
what
and
if
like
you guys lose the Senate by
say,
one seat and it turns out to be this seat?
Well, you also know that like it wouldn't just be this seat. It would mean there were like four seats that flipped to flip the majority. And everybody will say that their seat is the one seat that flipped the majority.
No, because how expensive Texas is to play, it took resources away from those other seats that you lost.
I mean, that's like, also
there's a cascading effect. Texas is fucking expensive, man.
Texas is a very expensive state to play in. Absolutely. And listen. But Republicans also have more resources on hand than Democrats do across the board in every committee. You know, the Senate, I still feel, is going to stay in Republican hands.
Sure.
That is one that is the harder map. So I don't even want to try to like.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the harder map anymore, but, you know.
It is. Well, yeah. I mean, right? Almost a fair point there. Yeah.
It's like, you know, actually, it might be a little bit easier. Okay, I'm going to make a prediction. You know what? You love my predictions. I'm going to go on record right now in May of 2026 and say Donald Trump not getting behind John Cornyn to protect and preserve the Republican stronghold on Texas is going to be the biggest political mistake that he has made in his presidency because it is the domino that will cost him not just Texas, but North Carolina, Ohio, you know, Alaska, Maine, because every dollar spent here in Texas is a dollar that's not going there. And I think that is enabled by this decision to back an incredibly flawed, heavy baggage Ken Paxton.
I think that you are.
It's not a prediction. It's a spoiler.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think you're giving enough credence to the fact that this was going to be an expensive race, no matter if it was Cornyn or Paxton at the top of the ticket. To your point, it's really expensive to run in Texas. It is very hard to raise and run in Texas. And so, but for Democrats right now, if you're looking at Michigan and you're looking at the primary there, they're going to have to worry about stretching their dollar that way if El Sayed is the nominee at the top of the ticket there because he is so polarizing. And
yeah, they would have been better off getting behind McMorrow, in my opinion, but that's just my own personal political
sense. But is she really that? Is she really that much better of an option?
She would have been able to raise more money. She would have been able to raise more money on her own.
She deleted 6,000 tweets. Normal people don't delete 6,000 tweets.
No one cares about tweeting anymore. Trump
put that to bed for us. They do when you disparage the people you're trying to represent.
I disparage people all the time.
Well, you're not trying to represent anybody.
I'm trying to be the speaker, damn it. I thought we established that.
I want to represent all of the people. Of Crazy Town.
I'd be a great speaker. I double down on this.
All right. Well, that's it. We'll see you guys on Tuesday for the
Is your
show.
Eye okay? What are you doing right now?
Listen, I'm a busy lady and my eye itches and we're on the pod. What am I supposed to sit here and pretend my eye doesn't itch? No, I'm going to itch my eye.
Get some eye drops or something.
I'd love to, but I'm still on the pod right now, so I can't get up and go put eye drops in.
I see
I'm
people get up all the time when they're on pods, walk around in their pajama pants and everything. I'm just saying. It's a thing.
No. I wore this sweatshirt just for Karen today.
Just for Karen. Okay. Well, happy birthday, Karen. like happy birthday, first of all, happy 70. And then we will see you Tuesday in Dallas, both of us together at a barbecue joint. It's going to be fun.
Bye. Yay.
See you, party animals.